On Wednesday night, for the last several weeks, we have been dealing with some of the parables of our Savior. We have looked at this parable on a couple of occasions, on Wednesday night, I believe on a Sunday night as well. And this morning, I'd like for us to look at this parable and the last portion of it, Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 25. If you look at verse number 3, you'll notice something interesting. It says, "He spake this parable unto them." Normally, we would divide this up into three, and some would even divide it to four. But the Lord calls it one, because it's all dealing with the same subject matter. And the subject matter is directed specifically at the Pharisees and the scribes. If you notice verse 2, it says, "They murmured." They were complaining. They are objecting to what our Savior had done. And this was their objection. It says, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I don't know about you, but I'm glad He received me 46 years ago. I'm glad that this day that I can eat with Him, that He cares about us. For God so loved the world. Amen. Go with me to verse number 25 this morning. Verse 25. This is the story of the prodigal son in verses 11 down to verse 24. But now we find the older son. We find both of them to have a problem. And let's notice this problem of this boy. It says, "Now the older son," or his older son, "was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant." For you who may not know this story, let me rehearse just for a moment, that there was a younger brother who had asked for his inheritance, and his father gave it to him. He took of that inheritance and left home and blew it all in a foreign country, on riotous living, the Bible says. We find that famine came to the land. He'd run out of his money, and now he's working for a farmer, and he's taking care of his hogs, wishing that he could eat the food that he's given to the hogs. He's starving to death. And he finally decides, "My servants," or "my father's servants at home, have it better than I. I'm going to go back home. I'm going to tell my father that I've sinned against him, and if he would just allow me to be a servant in the household, that's all I want." But when his father sees him afar off, he runs to him. We find that he has the fatted calf killed, and a party ensues. Because, as it says in verse 24, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Let's pick it up again. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, 'Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' And he said to him, 'Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive and again and was lost and is found.'" Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, how we thank you for this tremendous parable. How we thank you, O God, for the truth that is set before us, that you are excited about sinners coming to you. O Lord, today I pray that you might grant to us your wisdom. Give us, O Spirit of God, of your conviction and comfort. O God, come down upon us today that we might realize Your very presence. Work in our midst. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. This parable was spoken by our Lord and Savior because we find a number of those round about who were Pharisees and scribes, the religious crowd, that were upset that the crowds that they thought were theirs were now following after Jesus. And He sat with and ate with sinners. By the way, He never met with them to participate in their evil deeds, but He met with them in an effort to save them from the condemnation that was upon them. And in this parable, our Savior wants these men to understand that there is joy in heaven when a sinner gets saved. I have seen folks get saved at Open Door Baptist Church and watched others. I wonder how long they will last. You are in the scopes of the gun of Christ today. For this parable is speaking of those who are disgruntled and disinterested in the souls of others. Because my Bible says God so loved the world. God so cares about others that He gave. And how you and I ought to really stop and consider that when a soul gets saved, God is excited. Notice verse number 7, if you would please. It says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. After He speaks of the lost sheep that is found, and as He's rejoicing over it, as He pictures that shepherd, He says, likewise. Again, in the next few verses, we find a woman who's lost a coin. And any woman who's lost anything valuable, you know that she is out on a hunt. And when she's found it, the Bible says that she's called her neighbors together and wanting to rejoice. And in verse number 10, it says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And then He gets even more specific as He talks of a lost son. And a father who is waiting for that son to come back home. And when he sees him coming, runs and meets him and falls upon his neck and kisses him and brings him back into the home and puts a robe upon him and a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And they kill the fatted calf and they rejoice. Because he says, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. However, we find in this eldest son a picture of the religious crowd who doesn't really care. I don't know if you understand this, but do you realize this is a bow shot by our Lord and Savior at those whom we call Pharisees and Sadducees, those who do not care about the lost. Those who are unconcerned for the dying, those who do not care if the blind see or the deaf hear, or that souls be saved. And it's spoken directly to these who were incensed that our Savior would be a friend of publicans and sinners. By the way, this is a rebuke to any church member that puts a damper on any of the blessings that God brings into the local church. I want us to see this morning a number of different things. First of all, I want us to see, as this party begins, the absence of the elder son. First of all, we need to commend him, for we notice in verse number 25, it says, now his elder son was in the field. Unlike the younger brother, he had stayed at home. Unlike the younger brother, he was hard at work. He was out in the field seeking to make something from that which was now his. Like his younger brother, he had received his inheritance as well, and he was working it rather than wasting it. He had a work ethic about him. He was busy at the task. But in the commendation, we also note a tremendous condemnation. For we notice here that there is some deep-seated problem with this boy. With this boy who now who is in his young adulthood, this young man, this son, who seems to have some deep-seated problems with his own father. It is very obvious that he had not approved of the decision of his father to give the inheritance. It's very obvious that he did not like the fact that this younger brother, whom he knew as a waster, would blow it all. And he had held this bitterness for who knows how many years. There must have been some estrangement between he and his servants as well, for we find that the servants are back at the house while he is out in the field. And it's very true that he had no interest in the return of his brother. But as he comes to the house, we notice here that it says he came and drew nigh the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. The term for asking here is one that means asking repeatedly with obvious agitation. What do you mean we're having a party? What do you mean he's come back? What do you mean my younger brother's home and dad's killed a calf? What do you mean all these things are going on? But I ask you the question, why is it that the elder son even had to ask? And perhaps we could stop and consider a few things, if you would, with me. The servants knew, but the oldest son didn't. The servants seemed to be closer to the father than the oldest son. The servants had evidently known for several hours, for it takes a period of time to prepare for this party, to kill the calf and to prepare it and to have the meal presented and to invite the guests. But the son knows nothing of it. Perhaps there's a reason that none of the servants had said anything to him as well. Perhaps it's because this son, in his bitterness, had come to have a very sour disposition. Has there ever been those people in your life that if you don't have to talk to them and tell them what's going on, you'd be just as happy not to, because you know that it's going to be a fight as soon as you tell them? And so we find this young man, this kind of a situation. No doubt they had learned to avoid him as much as possible. No doubt he was the kind that would blow up over those things that displeased him. And certainly the younger brother displeased him. This elder son had tremendous anger in his soul. His anger reveals, I believe, a deep-seated scorn, not only for his brother, but may I also say to you, and I believe the real problem was toward his father. Now let's stop here for a moment. Let's just take a time out, and let's also get an understanding that the father is representative of God the Father. For it is God the Father who seeks you and I and is waiting for us to return back to Him. Amen? It's the Heavenly Father who has both of these kinds of sons, and He's got this prodigal whom, like you and I, we have drifted away from God. And yet, when we finally come to ourselves, we come to our senses, as it's referred to earlier in the chapter, we say we need to go back home. And we come to God, who, by the way, has been seeking us all along. And it's a picture of God the Father receiving you and I back into the family. Interesting statement we find in the book of John chapter 1. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the servants of God. No, it says to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. And you and I, we are welcome back into the family. That's why today, if you're saved, you can have that sweet hour of prayer talking unto your Heavenly Father. You can say with me, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We have a relationship as a father to a son with God Almighty. But here's a son that is also part of the family that is upset with his father. Here's a son that does not like the decisions of his father. Here's a picture of a Christian who does not like the way God is doing things in their life. They're not pleased with the direction He takes. Sometimes it's through the fire, isn't it? Sometimes it's through the flood, isn't it? But oh, thank God, it's always through the blood. And sometimes God leads in ways we do not understand, nor ways that many times we don't like. How often have we said and heard others say, "Why did God allow that to happen?" Because God, in His almighty grace and understanding, is seeking to do it the best way, whether we know it or not. His anger was really a display of His selfishness. It was a display that He was unhappy that His brother had honor when He wanted the honor. It was a display saying, "I've been here all along and you've never made me the hero of a party." And for His brother to receive it, His ego could not handle it. It revealed itself in His stubbornness to go in. This anger welled up. "I'm not going in there to bring honor to my brother." He didn't want any part of the scene. Matter of fact, he would just as soon leave. Anger had blinded him to what was appealing to his father. But his father, in his wonderful grace, even goes to this son and seeks to draw him back. As he goes to the son in bitterness speaks back with some harsh words. This son, whom should have been, as the eldest in the family, this son who should have been the one traveling to the far country to seek to bring his brother back into reconciliation with his father, rather than doing that, is angry and resentful to him, just as the Pharisees and scribes were to the sinners and the publicans. And just as you and I so often are to those who are outside of the fold of Christ. So now the father has to deal with a proud and arrogant son. A son who has never considered the father and his love for the other son, but makes a public display of disrespect that is really toward his father. I want you to notice something. His blame is really for his father's actions, much more than the brother's. He never calls him his brother. He calls him his father's son. He is upset because here is one that is favored. Here's one who is so apt to complain that God hasn't worked in their lives as He does in others. Here is one who looks and rather than be joyous, is critical because another has received favor. Notice with me verse number 31. He said to him, "Son, Thou art ever with me, and all that I have is Thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. There's another occasion the Lord Jesus tells a story. In that story we find that there is a man who goes and hires some people. It's early in the morning. He says, "Listen, if you will work for me today, I will give you a penny," which was a day's wages. Don't think of that little coin that takes one penny, 1.62 cents to make, I was told this week. But that little coin that we look at, listen, we don't think of that as a day's wages, but a penny in the Bible is referred to as a day's wage. So whatever you make in a day, you just put that in your mind. That is what we're talking about here. Well, we find that the day goes on a little bit, and not too many hours later, he goes back to the place and he goes to this employment agency. He says, "I need some more men. If they will come, I will give them a penny for their labors." And so some more come, and they begin to work, and he sees the work is not going to be accomplished, and so he goes back and he says, "I need some more workers," and some more say, "I will go," and he says, "I will give you a day's wages, though you're coming at a later hour." And the Bible says, even at the 11th hour. In other words, he's saying, there's only 60 more minutes to work. If you will come and labor with me, I will give you a day's wages. And so they labor, and the time is up, and the work has been accomplished, and the man gets out his paycheck, and he begins to write out the checks, and he gives each man the same amount. But those who had been there since the break of day begin to complain. "You've given us a day's wages, but you've given that guy that's only worked an hour the same amount. That isn't fair." You see, we are so prone to complain. By the way, they had made an agreement to work for a day's wages starting in the morning, and the men that got there late in the afternoon had agreed to the same thing. It was nobody's business but the man who hired him. And yet so often you and I, we look at things in our lives and we look at things that seem to be inequities and we complain about our Father and what He's doing in our life. And we become bitter. And somebody comes to know Christ, and we're concerned with ourselves that the joy of heaven has been dismissed. Do you realize today that it's all about the Father? It's about His business. It's about His stuff that He can do with as He so pleases. Oh, by the way, did you know that when those two boys got their inheritance, the older boy got twice as much as the younger? Do the math, brethren. If he got twice as much and there was only two boys, that means the oldest boy with twice as much, he got two-thirds and the younger got one-third. And yet he is doing what? Complaining. What's he complaining about? His Father's decision. I heard a person one time say, "You know what, it isn't fair that I've served God all of my life and this guy, he's 80 years old and he just got saved and he gets to go to the same heaven I get to go to." I heard a woman one day say, "It isn't fair. The saints that were alive back in the first century, they've been enjoying heaven for 1900 years. And I haven't got to." What's our problem? Be honest with ourselves. Far too often our problem as with God. Our problem is with an omniscient God. Our problem was with a sovereign God. But aren't you glad that He was willing to run and to fall upon the neck of the Son who was coming back to Him? This one who had wasted it all like you and I have so often wasted much of our lives. And yet, this Father, like our Heavenly Father, is waiting for us. Will there be some older brother complaining? Well, maybe it will be. But I guarantee you what, that household's rejoicing. There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. Somebody asked me one day, do people in heaven know what's going on down here on earth? No, they're enjoying themselves. But if there's something that gets announced in heaven, it might be the names of those who've gotten saved. I've been at Bergen Mercy Hospital on many occasions. And those of you who've ever been there, you know that every once in a while you hear this little jingle coming over the... I don't even remember what the song's called. What? What? Lullaby? Do you work there? Oh, I know you work somewhere. You know what it is. Every time that little lullaby comes over, I'm thinking, there's another one. There's a mom and a daddy that are really excited. There's a grandma and grandpa that are driving furiously. Jehu and Mrs. Jehu, they're on their way to the hospital to see this little one. There's joy in the family. That woman who'd just been through the labor and the pain and all the agony, it's all over. She's got that little baby in her arms, thinking, how cute he is. Or she. Oh, she's not even thinking about the days ahead and the weeks ahead and what's going to happen. It's that little baby. It's joy. That's what it's like in heaven. Over one sinner that repents. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and if you would say, Lord, forgive me of my sins, come into my life and my heart. I don't know what these folks do, but I know what's going to happen in heaven. Yes, the angels are going to be, yes, another one, another one, another one. And then they only know what it is because angels can't get saved. But hey, they're coming in our presence. Yeah. Oh God, today give us back that kind of heart. Lord, too many times we've been like this elder son. All we do is think about ourselves. Lord, we've carried around anger because of others. Sometimes we think they're more favored. Oh God, that's your business. Thank you for the favor you've shown to me. Your grace is amazing. Work in our hearts. Bless in these moments, oh God. If there be one here today without you, they may recognize their need of a Savior. Oh God, we who know you, if we've been that elder son, God, I pray we might repent. Oh God, that which was so joyous brought heartache to the Father. Lord, maybe what He did was even worse. We don't know if He even ever repented. But God, bring that to our hearts. Bless and work in us, I pray, in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand where you're at, please. Emily, if you'd begin playing.